The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are back. Second hour, we'll check in with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN on the latest with the Big Ten and what it could mean to the rest of college football, especially the SEC. That's coming up in a minute. Putnam is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ms. Feinbaum. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you, Putnam.
I don't know if you remember me from last week. I was talking to you about Terry Beasley.
Oh, I sure do. I remember that.
Well, we went to see him this past weekend, and he basically wanted to let you know he appreciated what you said about him. And he had a football card he autographed for you, so I did get that to you.
Oh, that is amazing. I've not seen Terry in a long time, but I'm glad you were able to see him. And I still have such special memories of that first time I met him. And as I said the other day, there are I'm not sure you could fill up a bathtub of players who have meant more to that university than Terry Beasley. He's that important in the history of Auburn football.
Well, we recorded the conversation that you had about him, and he sat there and listened to that, and I hadn't seen him smile like that in a long time.
Well, please give him my best again, and I would encourage all young people somehow to look up some of Terry's catches back in the day. And he had quite an NFL career as well. But, I guess because I got to know Pat Sullivan so well afterwards and became friends with him, that is just one of those indelible duos in SEC history. I mean, there are a couple others, Reeves to Alvarez at Florida. But Beasley, Sullivan to Beasley, I think is one of the greatest tandems in SEC history.
Well, how can I get you this card? Do I need to just wait and do it off the air or what?
Yeah, let me, I tell you what, Putnam, let me put you on hold and we'll make it happen. How about that? Thank you very much. I'm really excited to hear that. Let's check in with Paul, who is in Jacksonville. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? I got a couple of things. I wanted to ask you about Eli Gold, but before I do that, I wanted to ask you a question. Maybe we can start a poll. That's kind of up to you. I want to know who talks the fastest. You don't understand, and it don't make any sense when they talk. Is it Jimbo Fisher or Darryl?
Oh, my goodness. I'd probably go, I will go with Jimbo because Jimbo has a better command. I don't know if you heard our conversation with Jimbo at Media Days, and I asked him about him talking so fast because somebody had asked him a question earlier in the day, and he said he started that because the NCAA gives them so little time with the players that he just decided not to waste any time. But Jimbo is an effective speed talker. Darryl is not.
True. Another quick thing, I was born and raised in Georgia. We talked before, I'm a retired police officer from Georgia, and I never understood why folks I went to high school with and colleges and went to University of Georgia, why they didn't like Florida fans so much until I moved down here. And then I realized after talking to Florida fans that they're the only school in college football history that never lost a game. They always got cheated. They always got cheated somehow or another, even the Nebraska game. I had a guy work for me, and I said, when Tommy Frazier just destroyed Florida, he said, you know what, the official missed two calls. If they hadn't missed those calls, we'd have gone down and we'd have beaten Nebraska that day. I said, man, I don't know what you're thinking about. The Green Bay Packers wouldn't have beaten Nebraska.
That's
one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Paul, the joke after that game, and it was, I can't remember, Spurrier lost by 6 touchdowns, I think. I mean, for the next year, every time a talk show would come on, they would say, hey, this just in, Nebraska scored again. That's how bad it was.
Listen, before I go, and I know you got a lot of calls, I just want to know if you heard any latest. I've grown up in Alabama fans in 1958. I could tell you jersey numbers and where the kids came from. But I was just wondering about Eli. Have you heard anything? I've tried to.
You know, Paul, I must tell you how disappointed I am not to learn anymore, which makes me even more concerned than I was a week ago. And Eli and I have been very close friends. I've tried to reach out. We can't seem to get a hold of anyone. And that's not a great line to use if you're a reporter, but I've checked with other reporters as well. And there is a lid around him of information that you, I mean, you have a career in law enforcement, and I'm not trying to read too much into it, but I don't take it as great news.
I agree with you totally, and I think regardless of whether you're an Alabama fan or not or an Eli Gold fan, I wish him, and I think other people do wish him Godspeed.
Absolutely, and thank you so much, Paul. And we mentioned this a week ago, and I mean we continue to think of Eli in our prayers, and it's just terribly disappointing to know that he is not going to be back. But most important, I mean, I really hope that he can get through what he's going through right now, and we will update you when we learn a little bit more. Brett is in New York. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Brett, we're doing great.
So I know obviously in the East you got Georgia at the top there. Kind of just wanted to know what your next three teams in the East would be. And then my second question would be, if the SEC championship wasn't Alabama and Georgia, what two SEC teams do you think it would be?
Wow, that's – you know, I am leaning toward Kentucky after Georgia because I think they are the team that is best built for a run, and with Georgia coming to their place, and Tennessee would be next. I think it would be Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee. Tennessee's got a shot at making a move up, and after that, I think it's really a grab bag. What about you?
Very cool.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Really good to hear from you. How about Randy in Georgia? Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Randy, we're doing great.
I want to do your take on Sam Beamer and his fifth year. What is your expectation, and what do you call a winnable season for San Carolina this year?
Yeah, you know, I think they're going to be better than last year, and I'm not sure they're going to win any more games. The schedule is more difficult, and I think Shane Beamer – you know, the one thing he's got going for him, he's got a great tandem with Rattler. He picked up two really cool players from Oklahoma. He's recruited well. But ultimately, I just think there are too many tough games on that schedule for him to get past where they were last year.
Do you think that's that they give Georgia a job? I mean, did I?
No, I don't. Here's the problem with the schedule. At Arkansas, Georgia – back-to-back, at Kentucky. I mean, I see three losses there. A&M at home. I'm unless we missed it on A&M, I don't think that's a win. And then Clemson, and then somewhere along the way, you got to beat somebody. And that I'm talking about Florida or Tennessee. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. And Dan is in South Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing today?
Dan, we're doing well. Thank you.
That's awesome. Hey, I wanted to, I was asking about the referees, but also wanted to make a comment about AC. I believe AC is Jeff from Ohio.
You know what? I think you're right. So if you're interviewing somebody, if you're on the phone with somebody in witness protection, they will garble the voice, maybe pipe a little extra energy and volume into it. So I think that's what happens. They give them a little bit of an accent, a little dialect. Jeff becomes AC. Both will make you sick. We'll take a short break. We are coming back with the big news about the Big Ten. Normally wouldn't be all that interesting to us, but it could affect a lot of schools and a lot of conferences. That's up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we're back, and a lot happening today with the Big Ten. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN joining us now. He's been covering this evolving story about what could be an absolute blockbuster deal. And Adam joining us now. Adam, thanks for the time, as always. So we don't know anything official yet. The Big Ten isn't talking, but what have you been able to cobble together, and what does it all mean? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, I think the Big Ten is probably days away, maybe a week or so away from announcing this, but it's an agreement with Fox as the anchor partner, which we knew was going to be the case. But CBS and NBC are set to join and become, you know, major broadcast partners of the Big Ten. CBS most likely in that mid-afternoon window, which will be vacated once all the SEC content moves over to ESPN in 2024, and then NBC, which has basically only been a player in college football with Notre Dame home games, will have Big Ten content most likely in the primetime window. And ESPN, after, you know, 40 years or so of Big Ten partnership and games and so forth, is not going to be part of this deal. So that's the second part of the big news is NBC and CBS are in, and ESPN is out, and the Big Ten is set to cash in on just a blockbuster media rights agreement with, you know, three of the major broadcast networks.
I realize everything is speculation at the moment, but how big could it get?
Well, the reports, out of Sports Business Journal and others is that both CBS and NBC, you know, paid about $350 million for their individual packages. You know, ESPN ultimately, turned down a proposal from the Big Ten for about $380 million, a 7-year deal. But if you do the math with those two outlets taking Fox completely out of it, and then you add in the fact that Fox is still going to have Ohio State, Michigan, and many of the top games in the conference year to year, I mean that pushes well over $1 billion annually. So, you know, this is a deal that, as Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren told me back in July at Media Days, you know, he wants people to look at this deal 20 years from now and say, wow, you know, they changed the game for everybody in terms of how it was structured, who was involved, the length of the deal, all of that. Obviously very, very close now to finalizing it.
So how would that compare, Adam, to the deal ESPN cut but still hasn't fully gone into effect yet with the SEC?
Well, it's a different deal in a sense that you have more media partners. It's a shorter, you're most likely going to be a shorter agreement, I think in the 6 to 7 year range, which isn't a huge shock, Paul, because previous commissioner Jim Delaney, you know, did this, which was his last deal was only 6 years, which allowed the Big Ten to go to market before all of these other conferences. And so I think I'd be surprised if the total length of the deal is approaching what ESPN's or will be with the SEC, a 10-year agreement. So shorter term, more partners involved, and really trying to look at it, as a source said to me, you know, kind of like the NFL does, you know, with certain partners in certain windows of the day. We have our noon window with Fox, we have our mid-afternoon window with CBS, then we have our prime window with NBC, and trying to spread out the content with both times and network designations.
But Adam, you know, this is a testosterone-filled competition. It would just seem from a distance, sitting here at the SEC network, that the Big Ten's got a better deal. Am I correct?
Well, I mean, part of it's just the timing, right? The fact that they're at right now at a time where these rights are as Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov has told both of us, severely undervalued, and you have networks that want to be part of the college football space. I mean, you know, CBS doesn't have anything. once the SEC leaves. And so, you know, they were in a position to put up a lot of money. NBC wants to be a bigger player in this space. They have room, which maybe others don't, and they want Big Ten content to fill, you know, that prime window. I mean, ideally, NBC can have a really good Notre Dame game on at 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon, and that flows right into a good Big Ten game in the evening. I think what's going to be interesting, Paul, is what the actual picks will be, because we both know that Ohio State Michigan is going to be on Fox every year at noon Eastern on that final Saturday of the regular season. So what does everybody else get, and how do those games rate? How are they promoted, and so forth? I think it's exciting for the Big Ten, but it'll be interesting to see how it actually plays out, and especially once USC and UCLA enter the league, how that kind of changes where everybody goes and where everyone's placed on those different networks at different times.
It seems like Notre Dame is still the card that everybody wants to try to figure out. How does this, assuming it does at all, affect Notre Dame's position as either an independent or the likelihood it could end up in the Big Ten?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see how Notre Dame reacts, not just to the numbers, but the fact that it's you know, its main broadcast partner will no longer be exclusive with Notre Dame. I mean, they've been in a exclusive relationship for a long time, and now that relationship is going to include the Big Ten on the NBC end of it. So, you know, will that prompt Notre Dame to look at joining the Big Ten? Will it make them more steadfast in their desire to remain independent? And they're still set to get a lot from their next media agreement with NBC or others. And so I think that's what's so interesting, is that this, once this deal was out, a lot of people around the sport were saying, okay, then you're going to see a reaction from, you know, other schools, from other leagues. And so that reaction period essentially starts now.
Adam, this interminably long CBS deal with the SEC still has a couple of years to go, and I don't know many SEC fans that want to see CBS around much longer. Now that CBS is in business, with the Big Ten, is it more likely that deal ends earlier and lets the SEC start doing what it wants to do and hop over on ABC and ESPN?
I haven't heard that, and I think if you're CBS, you certainly want to see that deal through, which is a great deal for you. Not the best deal for the SEC, but to have SEC content on mid-afternoon with all the great teams, always national championship contenders, the ability to put Alabama on and Georgia and A&M and LSU and Florida, I think you certainly want to see that through to the very end. And then obviously everybody will move over to the ESPN platforms.
And what about the Big 12? You have a new commissioner who's open for business now that their partners are going else. One of their partners is going elsewhere. Does that open the door perhaps for Texas and Oklahoma to enter the SEC earlier?
Well, you know, I think it certainly could. But I think the league that's celebrating more today, Paul, is the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 is in a more desperate position, but they're also going to market before the Big 12 goes to market with its media deal. And the fact that ESPN is not going to be part of the Big 10 agreement, I was doing a radio show earlier with John Canzano, and he said that the Pac-12, they're doing cartwheels today because they might be able to leverage ESPN in a way that they maybe couldn't if ESPN had been part of the Big 10 deal, because the Pac-12, the one thing they have going for it, and that will never change, is the fact that they're all along the Pacific time zone, and they could have games in that late window. So I think the Pac-12 is extremely excited. I think the Big 12 is, you know, certainly will celebrate the Big 10 numbers, because their own agreement's going to be coming up here relatively soon. But they're following the Pac-12 and still trying to monitor the landscape. Whether it makes Texas and Oklahoma get to the SEC, you know, sooner, I've always felt that the 2024 would likely be the year, but I haven't heard anything that this accelerates that.
Adam Rittenberg joining us from ESPN on the big news breaking on the Big Ten rights agreement. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Been a long time since this next person showed up on our radar screen. Larry from Missouri. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How you getting along today?
Great. How about you?
Great, great. Hey, I just called in to take exception to your comments about my boy Phil Gundy a while ago. I mean, you basically called the guy a racist. And then you backtracked slightly.
Larry, I want to hear you tell me what he was doing repeating that word. By the way, he clearly lied in his first statement, and then he amended it later.
I will tell you. And it's
go ahead.
You tell me. Crazy,
you tell us all.
Hey, it's you and these crazy lefties. Do you think we should ban Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer? Do you think we should ban that, Paul? And damn sure
Larry,
don't read
Larry,
that.
That is truly one of the
what
most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life. To go back to Mark Twain in terms of what a coach read out loud in front of a football team in 2022.
And you're telling me, could you point to anything that says he's a racist other than you saying
that?
Yeah,
I'll go ahead and say it, Larry. If a coach inadvertently reads out something off an iPad that has the N-word, I'll say that was a mistake. When he repeats it, I'll say that's something that he wants to repeat because he likes saying the word. And when he does it again,
I'm saying he's got some
racist tendencies. I'm just going ahead
really
and saying it right now. I don't really care what you think
really
because that's how I feel.
Wait, have you listened to music in the last 50 years?
No, I've been living in a cave in Montana.
Why don't you dog the rappers and the people using them?
Because I'm not interested
in
dogging the rappers.
Why
I'm interested in talking about Gundy at Oklahoma. That's what I'm
interested
in doing.
These nutty lefties, when you can't win anything, you just say, hey, somebody's a racist. The last thing I'll say is at Twitter, free Larry Missouri. Thanks, Paul Boomer.
You know, listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But when a football coach in a prominent position, he's been at a school coaching for, 20 years? And everybody's talking about what a great man he is and what a great player. I'm pretty concerned about it. Obviously, I wasn't the only one concerned. Brent Venables fired him, okay? You think – because Brent Venables lived through that a couple years ago with another coach, and Dabo Swinney didn't do a thing other than issue a weak statement. So I have no problem saying what I did. If you like saying the N-word and you're a white man in your 50s, you got some problems, okay? It has nothing to do with Mark Twain. It has nothing to do with rap lyrics. Anybody bothered by that got problems too. I'm not concerned what a rapper is saying. That's his right to say it. And I'm not going to play that game that some of you out there want to play when it comes to the N-word. It's ridiculous. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you, Larry. Zach wants back.
He wants to talk about that when we can talk about college football. Paul, so y'all were talking about we lost the national championship in 1996, blah, 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 Tommy Frazier or some crap about touchdown, blah, blah, blah. But you know what happened, right, the next year?
Florida won the national championship.
Not only won the national championship, we beat our arch rival, which they cheated, roughing, hitting a very Christian man, Danny Werfel, just like another Christian quarterback we had, Tim Tebow. But yes. So there's that. So I don't know why dog on Florida, man. Why dog on the Gators all the time you get a chance?
Well, because Zach, he was simply talking about one of the worst one-sided championship games in history. That's all. And Nebraska was a great team that year. So was Florida. but they got rolled in that game. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. You were even better the second time around. Let's talk to Joe in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joe.
Paul, how you don't know how many, years I've been trying to get through to you, and I'm just sitting here today, and I just nonchalantly pushed the buttons, and I actually got an answer. I am so excited to talk to you, and I should have made a list every time you were talking about something on your show that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm just like, I've been putting a list here, all the things I always wanted to say, and man, well, just before you were talking about the great quarterback receiver duels, like Sullivan and Beasley and Reeves and Carlos Alvarez, I remember watching Snake Stabler throw to Dennis Holman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was, and it wasn't as famous, and the reason why is that Snake had a couple of other pretty good receivers around him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I live in Pennsylvania, coal mining town, and everyone up here is Notre Dame or Penn State. Now, you'll see a few Bama flags hanging around and whatnot, but it's basically up here. I mean, the bar I go to, they're all dressed in green all the time. They're Irish green T-shirts.
So, Joe, what part of the state do you live in?
You've heard of Allentown.
Of course.
Well, okay, I'm about 30 miles from Allentown, north of Allentown. And I only live like 13 miles from Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've seen his grave, tombstone many a time. And now there's a little controversy the last year or two about his family. He wanted to move his body back to the reservation, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Well, we're living here in Allentown.
What's that?
I said, well, we're living here in Allentown.
Yeah. I moved down to Louisiana in 1980.
You
got
to know your Billy Joe early music.
I told everybody, that's where I moved down here. Yeah.
No,
hey, I played football at South Carolina, Paul.
Did you really? When?
Oh, the Dietzel era.
Paul Dietzel?
I played for Paul Dietzel.
Pepsi and Paul.
Yeah. But you know what? One of my favorite shows to watch is Saturdays in the South.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about when Lou Holtz came to coach South Carolina. Do you know Lou Holtz coached at South Carolina when I was there? He was there in 67.
I didn't know that. In fact, I'm going to see Coach Holtz in a couple weeks. I'll ask. Hey, by the way, were you there when Dietzel left?
No.
Okay, because I got to know.
I was there from 60.
And I had lunch with him one day, and it is arguably one of the worst decisions a coach did. I'm trying to remember. Did he go from South Carolina? Was South Carolina after Army? I'm trying to remember the chain of command: LSU, South Carolina, and Army. He was at all three.
Went to Indiana.
He went to LSU. He went to LSU as the athletic director.
But after South Carolina, him and his whole staff went out to Indiana, including Ralph Floyd, who became the athletic director
right
there.
Right.
Yeah. Paul, I am so excited to talk to you. I'm from a football family, you know. All my family played college football.
Well, that is that's amazing. So South Carolina had they already gotten out of the ACC when you were there? Or are they still in the ACC?
I left there, and my last year was 71. But we always played the ACC schedule. And then right in a row, we played Florida State, who was independent at that time.
Right.
Then Georgia, and then Tennessee. And I remember those great Georgia teams of Bruce Kemp, Kent Lawrence, and that's the names I remember. Yeah, they were some good teams back then. And I played against Hacksaw Reynolds and Steve Kiner when I was an offensive lineman.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Kiner
is one
of the most famous players in Tennessee history.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm always talking SEC football. I love SEC football, and I'm starting to move over to SEC basketball now. I was always an ACC fan, but when I was at South Carolina, that's when Frank McGuire was there. And he had some great teams down there, John Roach and Kevin Owens, Tommy Owens.
Absolutely.
Mark Dunleavy, Brian Winters, Kevin Joyce. They had some great – I grew up in ACC basketball.
Well, Joe, it was an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and don't be a stranger. Thank you very, very much for the call. Carl is in Kentucky. Hello, Carl.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
All right. I just wanted to see if you would address what I consider the elephant in the room, and that is the SEC media rights supposedly going to Disney or Disney Plus in 2024. And do you think that's going to leave out a lot of fans that will not or cannot pay for extra premium packages? Am I going to be stuck with watching the Big Ten after 2024?
Well, Carl, I think when the SEC switches over, you're right, there will be some there will be some games probably on Plus, but I would doubt that the important games will go to digital. There's just too much money involved, and there's too many when ESPN makes the switch. I mean, right now ESPN already has everything but the 3:30 game. So what you're really doing is adding one more game, and there's a good chance that game could shift to prime time as well now that the Big Ten is leaving ESPN. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. Now, I am a nobody at this company. I'm not an executive. I don't know what their ultimate decisions are. I do know SEC fans, though, and I don't think they'll put up with it.
Well, don't ever say you're a nobody with SEC.
Well,
but anyway,
in terms of my voice being mattering in executive offices, I can assure you they don't really care. But I care what you say, and I can assure you that they will have to think twice before they start abusing the people that have made this conference what it is. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. Gary, up next in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
How are you, my friend?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Outstanding. Paul, I am no media rights expert by any damn means. But if ESPN, your mothership, is bowing out of the Big Ten, then in some ways, does that not give the SEC carte blanche? I mean, you're not going to tell me that ESPN is going to go without Saturday football.
Let me explain, Gary. So what happens in 2 years, 1 year, whenever all these things get worked out, is the SEC will ESPN will pick up the afternoon game that's currently on CBS, the one that the audience is subjected to Gary Danielson.
Sure.
And that's a huge game. That's the number one game of the week. So ESPN picks that up, and then they lose whatever Big Ten game they had. And they usually had a pretty good Big Ten game, which was either at noon or occasionally in prime time. So, yeah, it's a big loss. I mean, you can't say it's not, but it was inevitable. The Big Ten, with a commissioner that used to be the president of an NFL club, went very much took a very much an NFL approach, divvying up the rights among three networks and getting more money by doing that than ESPN was able, that the SEC was able to get out of ESPN just doing a total carte blanche deal.
But that's almost my point. So now ESPN is looking for Saturday football.
Right, and it's pretty obvious
so your
where they're going.
So options are the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac 12.
Okay, well, let me add one thing to that, Gary. They already have the ACC. So
nobody cares.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, I mean, outside of Clemson and NC State and Florida State and Miami, there's not a lot to watch. So what happens now is that the Pac 12 comes into play very prominently, whatever's left of the Pac-12, and the Big 12 becomes a player. So what I'm pretty sure they're going to do is gobble up Big 12 and Pac-12 rights that had previously been owned by Fox.
But is the SEC now not in the driver's seat in negotiations? I mean, like I say, you're relative to the other, and hand quotes here, power three conferences. Right. I'm thinking that, you know, Sankey just asked for a blank check.
Well, yeah, I mean, the deal's already done. I think what it does is it might two things I think it does. I think it speeds up the process of getting Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, because now you have CBS. Yeah, and I mean, I know what Rittenberg said a minute ago, but I don't really think if you're investing in a new league, you really care about one more year. You want to start putting your money in your new product. You don't want to waste time on even though it's a great product. I think they'll try to get out of that. And I think you'll see Oklahoma and Texas perhaps in earlier. And I think it opens the door as well for either another play at Notre Dame or try to pick off a couple of ACC schools that are probably desperate to get out.
Which brings me to my next point. You know, there's a lot of talk about Florida State, Miami. Now, granted, having Florida locks up a great deal of those markets, which of course drives a lot. On the other hand, does the SEC want to prevent the Big Ten from getting those markets and takes Miami, Florida State just to keep the Big Ten from getting them?
Yeah, I think what you have to do there, Gary, is look and figure out if we see another round of expansion, and we will, whether it's two or four, most people think it's going to be four, then who is the most valuable commodity in the ACC to go to the Big Ten? There's some debate. Right now, it seems like North Carolina is winning. That may not sound great to you, but North Carolina is a very large state.
I would agree.
And it's a really well-respected brand. And I know you can't go to basketball here, because nobody really wants Duke. So, but North Carolina offers you. I think North Carolina fits the Big Ten more than any other current ACC school.
Paul, I appreciate all that you said, and on my last take. Sadly, I'm a Razorback fan in Big Orange Country, so it's just tough to be me. But I appreciate your show every single day, my friend.
Thank you so much. It means a great deal to hear from you, and you take care of yourself. Stuart is in South Carolina.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Hey there.
You made reference to the Oklahoma coach that he just got fired.
Right.
And then he made reference about Dabo Swinney making racial comments about people.
No.
Stuart,
I never said that. What I said was this.
That's what you said.
Well, I know what I said, and I said this, that I felt like Brent Venables was making a statement by firing Gundy because of what he saw while he was a defensive coordinator at Clemson. And what did he see there? He saw a racial incident occur with Danny Perriman, and he saw Dabo Swinney do virtually nothing about it. That's all I said.
I really think that's not fair. I mean, Paul, why would you do that? I mean, this guy, he made that decision, and then you blame it on the coach at the other school? I don't understand that.
Well, no, Stuart, all I'm doing is giving you an opinion about why I thought he expedited the decision. There could be some other reasons, but I think he's trying to show this is how you handle a racial situation in 2022, not the way the Perriman situation was handled at Clemson.
Well,
that's all I said, but I can certainly understand you wanting to defend your guy Dabo, who said that if players ever received any money, he would quit football. He's still coaching, isn't he? Last I checked, and it's only 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.